Welcome once again to the Candid Cast. We are continuing our Zero to Hero series. This is the third part, and we are continuing our discussion with the founder of LAPO, Lift Above Poverty Organization. He's here to tell us how we all can be lifted above poverty, and I'm sure nobody likes poverty. It's something that everyone that is in it wants to escape. And he has mentioned reading, he has mentioned determination, he has mentioned quest for knowledge. And today we are continuing in the series. You will still have more to draw from his wealth of experience and knowledge. Thank you for honoring us with your presence, Dr. Godwin.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Okay. So the first thing I will ask is we are now going to talk about your second book, The 12 Commandments for Business Owners. You started that book with mentioning the personality types.
Yeah.
Is there a personality that is designed for success and another personality designed for failure, a personality designed for business, personality designed for salary? Yeah.
Well, I want to say right away that there is no really particular personality type or temperament type that is made for success, especially in businesses.
Okay.
But I think what is important is the fact that you come across people who are calm, who are very, very successful in their businesses, just as you also come across very outgoing people, you know, also successful. But the difference, I think we need to emphasize this, is that, yes, there are some personality type that will make success easier in a particular line of business. So if you therefore have what the temperament type, like the sanguine, outgoing, and all that, such a person will be fantastic and make a huge success in a business that has related to sales, marketing, communication, engagement with people. On the other hand, you see the other guy who is a bit withdrawn, who is very decisive and all that, could also be very successful as a leader in other types of businesses. So the bottom line, therefore, is this. No one is essentially made to be successful in business. And put it the other way around, no one is also made not to be successful in business. So there are other factors that could come in. It could be the exposure. It could be experience from, you know, your engagement. It could also be the opportunities that are available for you. Early orientation and all that could make one to decide not only to go into business, to be successful in that type of business.
Thank you very much, sir. Then it means that for a person to be successful in whatever area, there is need to understand who you are, and that will help you to determine what in the area you need to play.
Of course, it's very important. Extremely important. The first cancer you have is, especially when you are making decision on the type of business, is know yourself. Yeah. Who are you?
Okay. We are not in competition.
Yeah.
No. Thank you very much. And we need to really understand that, because life today is full of competition. My friend has bought iPhone. I have not bought.
Friend is in that type of business, is succeeding, and I go. So it does not. So you need to look at how your temperament fits in. And of course, there are other factors beyond your personality type. For instance, you need to look at what you're learning, your training. Yeah. What is it? What is your experience? You know? So those things obviously we count when you are making a decision, because it is known that the first step to success in business is making the right choice of business.
Thank you, sir. I've heard people say it's not everyone that can do business. Is there really somebody who cannot do business?
Of course, no. No, there is no. I don't think there's anyone cannot. Like I said about the temperament, a certain way you think. If, for instance, people made that comment when they look at their temperament, which is more like your second nature. You know, you say, well, naturally, I cannot do business. What you're actually saying is that by the type of my temperament, I don't think I fit. But the point I'm making here is this. Whatever temperament you have, there are businesses that will align with that for success. So I don't think that there are certain people that were born with business DNA.
Thank you very much. This is instructive. Any person can do business. You just need to put your experience into practice, train, and have knowledge on what line of business you want to do. So, you also emphasize on the need to gain experience in what you want to do. So, a lot of people, when they are talking about business, first thing they talk of is capital. So once I have money, then I can do business.
Yeah.
I am not doing business because I don't have capital. Are they related? Is it anybody that has capital that can just jump into business? Where is the place of learning and experience?
When I come across young people, and I have many of them talking about it, when you have conversation with them, the first thing they will tell you is that the only barrier for them is money. And that is not true. In reality, it's not true. When you therefore also think about do people need to have some experience in what they want to, I think the greatest disservice that we are, you know, to these younger people, especially when graduate students, is for people to mount the rostrum and start in telling them that as you are graduating, do not be job seeker, be a job creator, you know, and so. Whereas the truth, and I think you take this from me, is that any jump from school to set up business, just from classroom to set up business, is almost 99% that you will fail. Yeah. So how do I get about? The cancer is very clear for me that before you begin, you're out of school, except maybe this technology thing, but you leave school, get somewhere to be acquainted with what you eventually want to do. Take the case of apprenticeship of the book. That is the basis. People, whatever other factor, the core factor for the
apprentice
ethnic, the Igbo ethnic group success in business is that opportunity to have 1, 2, 3 years of, you know, learning. The second thing could also be internship. Those days, it was not, it's not by just coincidence or whatever that. There used to be that, okay, in most professionals, doctors, lawyers, that there was also a period for you to have internship. I think that was waived during the acute unemployment problem in the 80s. But that is it. You get that. And it has been known that, for what I see, that most young lawyers who at that time decided to get attached to more experienced lawyers, chambers, tend to have done very well, more than those who just simply left the school and set up their own. And of course, you need to also volunteer. Yeah, you could also come, for instance, to LAPO and say, I want to do something. I'm going to volunteer. Because you want to do something eventually like what we're doing. And you volunteer, and then you have some experience. Because you need to have some basic issue about business. You may come out of school, you don't even know how to write a simple business letter. So if you work in a business environment, you know that. You may not be a partaker when the more experienced in that organization are addressing a challenge, a problem. But you are in the process also learning that this is the way to act in such a situation. So my counsel, whether the motivational speaker have said it or not, my counsel is that don't jump from the classroom to set up a business.
Thank you very much. You mentioned the Igbo apprenticeship system, the internship, the volunteering. We have always said that what you learn is always higher than what you earn in the place of employment, because what you earn will quickly fade away.
Yeah.
But what you learn stays with you for life, and that's what you keep. We appreciate your valuable contribution. This is a program that is aimed at raising young people who are interested in doing business. Literally, everybody is interested in business now, but a lot of people are confused about how to go about it. They will say, go and prepare business plan. Some people prepare very excellent business plan. If you read it, it is perfect on paper. But at implementation level, they run into challenges.
Yeah.
What do you think are responsible for such challenges, and what can be done to ameliorate?
Yeah, the good thing is that business plan is very essential when it comes to business. And many people obviously are having that problem. But I want to say that business plan, business plan, elegant business plan, does not translate to success. It's actually, every plan is a statement of intention.
Okay?
It's a statement of intention, what we will likely do, what we know that. But there are other factors that will ensure the success. And those factors could be around the capacity of the person, the issue of diligence, the issue of prudence, the issue of, being able to engage the people's management skill. There are a lot of people, because of the way they handle their people, in this case, the employees, they could actually have some problem. The people they are in the market. So when you put all these factors together, that is what comes to what we call the execution piece of the plan. So if as a plan, no matter how elegant it is, without execution, is worse than not having a plan at all.
Okay. Thank you very much. The one of the things you mentioned now is people's management skill.
Yeah.
As something that we need. How can somebody who is poor on management of people scale up in that area of knowledge?
See, the issue is that when you want to scale up, there are a few things that need to be addressed. Maybe if we're going to, the good things go to be addressed. People's management is also very important. If my book, it takes a whole chapter, and I said, never treat your people, and in this case, your employee, like wood.
Yeah.
You know, what most business owners do is there's this tendency to treat their employees as if they were wood without any feeling. They don't treat their employee as people who have their own aspiration, have their own set worth and few other things. And so if you miss that, what that means is that apart from you, the most critical person or group in your business are your employee, because they are the one that actually go out and list your customers. They serve your customers. They retain your customers. So many people fail in that direction. No matter how, so when you want to scale up your business, you have to learn that how to. For me, it's even more important than financial management.
Okay. Then that's on scaling up on financial management. Scaling up of businesses. We read of American businesses that have stayed 100 years and more. That is very rare in Africa. Like I said, we are not used to scaling up of businesses, build multiple branches. What are the essentials in business scale-up?
There are certain things you must do. And the first one is to make a strong, firm commitment that you want to scale up. That you are not a tree, you want to move. You want it must be a very strong commitment. Because when you pass through the challenges of scaling up, it's that commitment that will take you through. So the first thing you need to do is to make a very strong commitment. The second thing is to look at your business, what you are, where you are, you know. And in most cases, I always recommend that you look for a second eye to look at the business.
Okay.
In most cases, you can't examine your business thoroughly to discover where the gaps are. Because you are involved. Okay? So in our own case, we did that. We got a team that was in 2002 or 2001. We got a team from outside the country. For 5 days, they turned Lapo upside down, Monday to Friday. And then they came up eventually with a report that these are the gaps. So if you address those gaps, you become big. And so you must request somebody to look at that. And the second thing is for you to implement those recommendations. And those recommendations are usually around things that prevented the business not to be big. The first is the issue of governance and processes. Most small businesses tend to revolve around the owner. And everything probably, they tell you, ask for record, it says in the head of the owner. And so you cannot become big because no matter how intelligent you are, no matter how energetic you are, no matter how wise you are, you can never be more than one person.
Yeah.
So you're not likely going to grow. So you look at those areas, governance, financial management. You know, cause somebody must do this, somebody must do that. And then the whole issue of, you know, HR, how to organize. Take, for instance, for us, financial management. In fact, risk. Oh, we had 7 branches then. And we never trusted our branch manager. So they bring all the low application from all their branches to Benin. And one lady, powerful lady, was the head of operation. He will just process, send it back to them. And you don't even know how they're implementing. But when we want to implement a scale up, we just say, fine. Do a detailed operational procedure. Give it to the branch manager. Branch manager, you are the one that we enlist with your staff, the borrower. Take them, train them, appraise them, give them money. Do everything, approve, give them money. But you do the fourth one, repay, collection. Yeah. And so we set up in monitoring and inspection team. And that is what it is. So you're going to look at those areas. The first thing, make a commitment. I want to be big. The second thing, ask somebody to have a second look. You don't need to bring somebody from abroad to look at it. It will go through and identify the gaps. Then as you are implementing those gaps, you just get picked.
Thank you very much. This is another explosive inspiration that I've seen, and I know it will be beneficial to a lot of people. Everybody wants to be big. Nobody wants to die small. But the challenges of how to go up is always a problem. One of the things you mentioned is that you cannot become visible and not become vulnerable.
Yes.
That visibility is related to
vulnerability.
And the more visible you are, the more the pressure on you to adopt shortcut. You know, when pressure is so much, say, is there a way out of it? There's every money we can handle for you.
Yeah.
How do we run away from falling into that shortcut trap?
It is tough, but I would also say that it's easy to do. The way I look at it is this. When you cut corners, you're actually on a 100-meter dash. Okay. You get your benefit. If somebody, for instance, supply this quality goods, they pay you for a quality one, and you supply something that is softer. So you made a lot of money. Okay. But it cannot take you long. But when you want to have resources, it's a marathon. It's going to take a long time. We're talking about Lapo, we're talking 30 something years. And it's only integrity
that
can take you through. Because in the process, you are going to encounter a lot of challenges. Integrity can actually open the door for you. Door appears to have been. When you are not there, what I tell people is that please act in a manner that people talk good about you when you are not there. And because if you come to me and say, you are Mr. Gede, you are good, you are a good person and all that, I will believe you to maybe 50%. But if somebody else talk to me that you are good, I will believe the person 100%. So, and of course, integrity can defend you. When you are getting big, you are going to have people who are malicious. You don't need to offend anybody when you are successful to attack you. Your success is actually... So if that comes, it's only your integrity
that
can stand for you.
Thank you, sir. Then one of the things you mentioned about growing business is that you need to seduce your customers. Can you throw more light on that?
Yeah. When I use the word seduce, it's actually totality to engage them, because you need to realize that you are in business because of your customers. If the customers don't come today, you get out of business.
Yeah.
So you must realize that. That is for many years, many people don't realize. And so number two is that they have other suitors. So they could leave you. So when you have this realization, you must treat them like friends. And most importantly, you should be able to pay attention to prompt resolution of areas where there are infractions. Because in business, there will be, you know, somebody that error and all that. So how do you win them back becomes another issue. But because you are just one person in this thing, you need to communicate this to staff. But there are some businesses where seducing customer is easier than some other businesses. I will give you an example. If you commit, for instance, to a supermarket, you know, your good service, fantastic service you provide, the quality, that's fine. But when you go to a medical facility, creating good customer experience becomes more difficult. Why? The two persons coming to a hospital are already stressed. The patient and the person who is bringing the patient.
Yeah.
So the staff must therefore do extraordinary, you know, either in responding to them, in all that. That is the same thing with credit. When you are taking loan, everything is fine. But when you are making collection, then a customer experience become a bit very difficult. So what it is, when you are in a position where it's difficult, do extra to seduce them.
Thanks for listening. Stay tuned for more exciting episodes ahead. We appreciate your support and can't wait to share more insights with you soon.